Good morning. If you would, open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. My first pastor, Henry Mahan, wrote this: "The most essential thing in my life is a knowledge of the Scriptures. The greatest blessing God can bestow upon me is to give to me His Word and the grace and wisdom to understand and believe its message of redemption in Christ Jesus. And when you look into a mirror, you see three things. You see the mirror, you see yourself, and you see everything that's around you. When you look by faith into the Word of God, you see three things. You see Christ, who is the Word. You see yourself as you truly are, for the Word reveals the true nature of man. And then you see others about you and your relationship to them. In Isaiah 6, 5, it says, 'Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" All right, look at 2 Kings 4, verse 1. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." To summarize this story, a godly man had died and left his wife and family in debt and without any support. The widow appealed to Elisha for help. And he asked her, what do you have? And she replied, I've got nothing but a pot of oil. He told her to gather all the empty vessels she could find, borrow from her neighbors empty vessels, not a few, but many. Then go into your house, shut the door, and you and your sons pour oil from that pot into the empty vessels. And when all the vessels were full, everyone she had were full, the oil stayed. And she said, and she sold the oil and paid her debt. Now, in this, there are many lessons of grace and mercy in Christ to be learned. In the Word of God, there is an answer to every question. In this book is a solution to every situation. And in the Bible, there's a remedy for every problem. It doesn't matter your age, because we see young children and we see widows. It doesn't matter your intellect. We see the fool become wise, and we see the wise become a fool. It doesn't matter where you were born or who you are. We see kings fall to the dirt, and we see beggars become rulers. And it doesn't matter your health, because we see the strong struck down, and we see even the dead raised up. No matter the details of your current situation or your status in life, this book is the perfect guide, and there is no other place to go. We will find no comfort in any other place. For this story, I remember as a boy sitting in the service, hearing it like I did many others. And I remember thinking to myself, I can't relate to this at all. I'm not in trouble. I don't have any kids. I'm not poor. We don't even have bondmen anymore. This is all just irrelevant to me. On the surface, this story is still irrelevant to most people. It seems very far-fetched that any of us here could be in an earthly situation like this. So why should this story be of great importance to us? This woman is a picture of us spiritually. We are all alone in our sin, like she's all alone. Nobody on this earth can save us from this problem, from our sin, especially not ourselves. This woman had no options. She had no way to get money. She had no support. And we are also in debt. And the price of our debt is life. Someone has to be taken for our sins. Someone had to be taken. A life had to be given for the debt that this woman had. That's why it should. But why does this story matter to us? Not why should it, but why does it matter to us? Do you remember how I thought that this story was irrelevant to me when I was a child? Thankfully, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't think of me as irrelevant to Him. In the same way He has mercy on this woman, He has mercy on His children. So let's look at five lessons that we can learn. Lessons of grace and mercy in Christ. The first is the true character of a person cannot be determined by his or her possessions or position in the world. This man who died, he feared and he served the Lord. Though he lived poor and he died poor, he served the Lord. If by God's providence we are well off, let us use these means to minister to others. Turn over to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. If by God's providence we are well off, we are not in this situation, let us use these means to minister. Matthew 25, look at verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now, if by God's providence we are poor, let us trust Him to supply our need. The Scripture says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. The Lord provided for this woman even after the death of her husband and in a situation she saw no way out. Look at number two here, the lesson on number two. The kind of vessel that this woman was told to bring were empty vessels. Elisha emphasized this fact, that all of the vessels she brought were empty. Not half full, not primed or special with some power or some magic liquid that someone could provide, but empty. This is perhaps the most difficult lesson we, those who have come to God for mercy, grace, salvation, and His provision, have to learn. The Word says, in my hands no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. All those who come to Christ must come totally void of merit, without works, without goodness, or even without the beginnings of any grace. The Lord makes the dead to live. He makes the blind to see, and He makes the lame to walk. And then He also clothes the naked. A man once said to Spurgeon, don't you think the greatest hindrance to salvation is our sinful self? To which Spurgeon replied, no, I do not. The greatest hindrance to salvation is our righteous self. No man is ever too bad to come to Christ. He feels, but many men are too good to come to Christ. The Lord fills the empty. He clothes the naked and He saves the lost. We have to learn this first. If one comes to Christ for His grace, he must come as an empty vessel. It is remarkably plain throughout the Scriptures that Christ passed by the so-called righteous, passed by the so-called publicans. He called the sinners and the publicans and the harlots. Turn over a few pages to Matthew 9. Christ passed by the righteous, so-called righteous, and He called sinners, publicans, and harlots. Matthew 9, look at verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The third lesson we can learn is the number of vessels to be brought were not a few, but many. Is anything too hard for our Lord? He can save many sinners. Our Lord commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, for He is able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by Him. Paul wrote, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are both great and large words. Our God is able to save all kinds of sinners. The size of the vessel, big or small, the age of the vessel, old or brand new, the shape of the vessel, and the condition of the vessel were all immaterial. None of that mattered. There was only one descriptive characteristic of the vessel. It had to be empty. Any other vessel was fine as long as it was empty. This is the command of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. The fourth lesson we can learn. The vessels were completely filled. The Word, this book, is full. From complete ruin to eternal glory, our sufficiency is all in Christ. From absolute emptiness to complete fullness of God, all that we need is met in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians it says, But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Colossians 2, look at verse 9 and 10. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of a Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. When an empty sinner by faith receives Christ, he receives all that God requires, all that God commands, and gives of eternal life. Turn back one page to Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. All spiritual blessings, are in, by, and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing needs to be, nor can be added to what Christ is, what He has done, and what He's doing. All the fitness He requireth is to fill your need of Him. Now, before we look at the fifth lesson, let's acknowledge something in this story first. This request that Elisha made to this woman is a very unique one, and it's very strange. It probably made absolutely no sense to her, but she had been given faith. She went to the prophet saying, I've got nothing. They're going to take my sons from me. I need your help. And he told her to go borrow vessels from other people, empty vessels. Those vessels have no value. She was borrowing nothing from them. But like the woman that Elijah told to make him a meal, in 1 Kings, Elijah was in a great time of famine. And he went to a brook where the Lord told him to go, but eventually that water dried up. So he told him to go to a new place and the woman would provide for him. So he went to that place and the woman came and he said, Will you please give me something to eat? And she said, "Is all I have is a little meal and a little oil. And I'm going to make that right now. I'm gathering sticks to make one last meal for my son and I, and then we're going to die." And Elijah told her, "Well, go make me a cake first." Not only is that request unique and strange, it goes against everything that we can imagine. This woman was going to go make one last meal for her son and her, and she was only doing it just as a last thing. And Elijah said, "No, no, no. You give that to me. You give that to the Lord and He will provide." And what happened? That meal and that oil fed them through the entire famine, through the entire drought. And in the same way, the Lord gave this woman faith to believe, to do this odd and strange thing. Now, why do I say these things? what we need to do, what this book tells us to do, and what we are led to do by the Lord is oftentimes unique in this world. It's oftentimes strange to others. But hopefully the Lord will give us faith to do it. The only way that we ever came to the Lord is for Him to draw us. The only way for us to obey Him, the only way this woman would ever obey Him, is in the faith that He gives us. Now, number five, the last lesson. When did the oil stop flowing from the vessel? When the last empty vessel was full. As long as there was an empty vessel in the house, the oil of God flowed freely and sufficiently. But when the woman called for another empty vessel, and there was none, the oil stayed. The woman did not notice that the oil was going to stop flowing. She didn't notice how many vessels were yet to be filled. All she was focused on was the oil that she was pouring. She was doing the Lord's will. This is the same as it is today. As long as there is an empty, needy sinner, the grace of God flows full and it flows free. Where you have spiritual need, you have mercy. Where men are lost, Christ saves. Where you have sinners, you will have salvation. The well of mercy never runs dry, and the cupboard of grace is never, ever bare. But when men are full, when they're rich, when they're increased with goods, and have no need of nothing, the oil of grace stops. When the last stone of His living temple is laid, and the last empty vessel is filled, the oil of grace will cease, and judgment will fall on the earth. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. There were no stones left over building His temple. When they were all in the ark, the door was shut and the rain fell. Dear dying Lamb, Thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. What lessons can we learn from this story? We learn that we must be an empty vessel. We must bring nothing with us. We learn that the oil will flow. The size of the vessel doesn't matter, but the vessel will be completely filled with the grace and the mercy of the Lord. And then we also learn that the oil will not stop as long as His children still need grace and mercy. But when that time comes, and when the Lord comes, that's when the grace and mercy will stop in this place. His mercy and grace will never stop for His children. But the oil in this planet will stop once all the children are found. And I'll read again one more time. Dear dying Lamb, Thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more.